The central claim of Christianity is that Jesus of Nazareth suffered and died for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. And then, on the third day, he walked out of his grave and revealed the resurrection. Coming to terms with this claim is made very difficult by a culture which does its best to look away from the reality of death. I'm sure that you've all, at a funeral home, probably heard someone say of the deceased, "He's not really dead, not as long as we remember him." Or perhaps, "She looks so peaceful, doesn't she? Just like she's asleep." But friends, there are two problems here. First, no one takes comfort from such fantasies. And second, these words are simply false. He's not really dead, not as long as we remember him. Yes, he is. He's dead, no matter who remembers him. She looks just like she's asleep. No, she doesn't. She looks dead. And she looks dead because she is dead. The human body after death is no longer a who, but an it, a corpse, a thing to be taken by corruption and rottenness and the grave, and there is no escaping it. Death destroys human life. Death is an act of violence against human dignity, and it rends and tears apart what is knit together in our mother's wombs, the unity of body and soul that makes us human. Yes, we believe that the life force, the human soul, survives death. But when the soul is sundered from the flesh by death, what remains is not a human person. It's merely a disembodied soul waiting for something, waiting for the resurrection of the body. After death, all that remains of us is food for worms, and thus do we return to the dust from which we came. Of course, memories of us remain along among those who knew us, but such memories are merely the echo of a human life, not a life in itself. We must face this squarely. Death is miserable and evil and altogether loathsome. And it was not part of the Creator's plan for us. This is our handiwork. Death entered the world through sin. The remedy for both sin and death is the same. What was true of death for each of us was true also for the Lord Jesus. He was brutally, cruelly tortured to death. And when Christ died on the cross, he was not pretending to be dead. This was whispered by those who denied the resurrection, even from the beginning. There were whispered rumors that Jesus was merely drugged to appear dead, or that he was feigning death to avoid further brutality on the cross, or even that another man had died in his place in order to save Jesus. And all of these lies were offered to refute the central claim of the gospel, that a dead man rose from the dead and walked out of his tomb to reveal the radiant glory of human life restored and perfected by the resurrection. But he did die, and his body was given up to corruption. We murdered him, the one who is life itself. And he was dead and buried. Or as the Apostles' Creed teaches, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. It is literally crucial for us to accept the reality of Christ's atoning death if we are to understand the truth of his resurrection, and more than that, to understand the connection between death and resurrection in the sacrament of baptism. Modern skeptics of the gospel, like the ancient scoffers before them, sometimes say that the resurrection of Christ is no more than our memory of him. You can find that nonsense all week on television. He's not really dead, not as long as we remember him. But that is not the gospel. If it were the case that the bones of the rabbi from Nazareth were still in his tomb, then, as St. Paul says, we of all men would be most pitiable, because we would still be in our sins and our faith would be in vain. But the truth is that a man died and went into his grave, and then he burst the gates of hell and threw down our ancient foe and revealed the unbounded glory of God to all the dead. And finally, on a Sunday morning, he walked out of the tomb in his risen and glorified body. And that is why on this day, when we celebrate the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, we also renew the promises of our baptism. Because it is by the sacrament of baptism that the victory of the resurrection first takes root in our lives. When St. Peter began to preach the gospel to the Gentiles just after Pentecost and to teach them about the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, a pagan, a Roman centurion named Cornelius, and his entire family accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. From that moment, Cornelius and his household began to follow the Lord Jesus as faithful disciples and to live in the hope of the resurrection, a hope that changes the meaning of everything else in our lives, including how we approach and understand our own deaths. But living in that hope requires first that we die to our old self through never-ending repentance, conversion, and saving faith. And that is why St. Paul writes to the Romans, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." And friends, that is precisely what happened to us, to each of us, at the time of our own baptism, the promises of which we will renew this morning after confessing our faith that Jesus Christ, true man and true God, is risen from the dead. The gospel, the good news of salvation, is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, and it calls us to repentance and conversion. But we must grasp this truth. Jesus Christ did not die to make bad men good, or even to make good men better. Rather, the Lord Jesus suffered and died and rose from the dead to make dead men live. We are dead in our sins until we are born again by water and the Holy Spirit. And the new life Christ gives us by grace through faith begins at baptism. And that is why on this day of resurrection, when we celebrate the Passover of the Lord and declare our desire to live as faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus in his holy church, we do so by renewing the promises of our baptism. And at the center of our baptismal faith is the Easter proclamation of the angels and the church. Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti, Christ is risen, he is truly risen. Alleluia, alleluia.